So we'll get on with it. Everybody has a copy, right? So you sort of got a chance to get an idea of what we're after here. Okay, so first, a few general questions. First one being, what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
Right. Yeah, mainly is ensuring that our public are safe with with this COVID going on. We want to make sure that that our voters, our election workers, our staff is all safe. And then, of course, we want to make sure that all of our elections are, I mean, this one, everyone is safe and secure. That you know, after 2020, that we can show to the public
transparency and integrity, and
that we are doing everything by the book.
Right.
And there's no underhanded things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's just so much information out there now.
Yeah.
I just want people to know how the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And I guess we also answered the second question in that. Any other major concerns? I mean, I guess unrelated to, related to.
They all just
to
go together.
They do all go together.
You know, last year with COVID and it being a major election, it just, all of that kind of just was a big.
That was hard on everybody. Yeah. It was a challenge. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So do you feel like you have the resources, the equipment, the personnel, and the training that's needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you feel certain about that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so then the fourth question, if no, what's missing? But we said that you're good. Okay, fifth, the county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor. But in some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead, or another Democrat. What is the situation in Patrick County?
We have two Democrats and one Republican.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And represented by both parties today.
Well, that's very good too. Okay, all right. Okay, now what about the precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans at the precinct level?
A lot of our election officials do not indicate either party, and our party chairs do not generally provide names for us, so we take what we get.
You take pretty much what you get.
Right.
Okay.
I would say in this area, we probably tend to go more Republican, and so...
Because that's the voting... Most of the majority.
That's just the makeup of our community.
Yeah.
There are some, I mean, we do have some people that indicate one or the other.
Right.
But as far as
having
a good, even number, we have more people claim to be independent.
Yeah.
Or they don't. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know why that is.
No,
Okay.
Oh,
we have another addition. No, that's okay.
I just closed the door so we wouldn't get
okay.
That.
Okay.
Don't bump Betty's chair, make a man. You'd be all right.
Leave this here for now.
We'll get it in a little bit.
Yeah, it's okay.
We'll get it later.
You sure?
Yeah, we'll get it later.
Okay. So now, is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near the elections?
That would be year-round.
Yeah.
We're very involved.
Okay, very good. Okay, now some questions on the voter roll. When was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned? Was there could you give us like a date or an indication
so
of
what do you
how
mean
that
by
goes?
Scrubbed or cleaned?
Well, I mean like when you have voters that are there and you check your voter rolls to see if this one is deceased or that one moved out of this county or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you clean up the voter rolls and ensure that you have voters that are legitimate eligible voters on the rolls and not people.
So now we don't go through each individual voter, you know, every so often to verify that they still live at such and such address or that they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We do rely on list maintenance from the Department of Elections to kind of...
Do they send to you regularly?
Right. We get information from them on a monthly basis.
Okay. Department of Elections.
Right. Yeah. So they get data from the Department of Vital Statistics and the ERIC, which is the state sharing data platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know how many states, you know, probably.
Right.
Yeah, have that. So, yeah.
But you know, they share all that information. So you can sometimes find out that somebody has left this area and went to another state.
Mm-hmm.
There also is
list
the,
of
the
those
NCOAs.
That are deceased is on that too.
Right, the Bureau of Vital Statistics.
Mm-hmm.
That is the list of those deceased. Mm-hmm. There's also another we get from the ERIC has deaths listed on those.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that you go through your list on a monthly basis,
yeah,
to make sure
and
that...
And then, like, the address part,
uh-huh,
it probably, I would say... That NCOA, the National Change of Address, that's
mm-hmm.
done on a yearly basis.
That's done on a yearly mm-hmm. basis. Okay. All right. Did any of you guys have anything to add to
that's
that?
Good.
No? Okay. All right. Okay. Then, let's see. Does the Health Department, Coroner, or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to your office every month so that they can be,
said.
And we just did that.
Right. It specifically goes through the Department of Elections first, and then,
oh, okay.
and then they disperse it out throughout the state to the localities that those persons are registered. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't aware we, okay. Okay, when was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on a basis of being a non-citizen?
I have never received anything from our circuit court.
Yeah, this is interesting because neither have the other two counties, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I've
been... What does that have to do with us? I wonder.
Well, I guess it just says, you know, if they have claimed that they're not going to be, you know, being on the jury because they're a non-citizen, are they on your voter roll?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compare that name. Is he a voter? If he says he's not a citizen,
I don't think the clerk of the court sees that he has a function to submit.
No, I don't think he does. Yeah.
Because, you know,
I mean, I know,
if they're not eligible to vote, we already know it. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
I guess some people would, to get out of jury duty, say, oh, I'm not a citizen.
Yeah.
So therefore,
yeah.
You know, they
and then you'd want to say, ooh, if they're saying that, you know, let's make sure he's
because
not
you still
vote.
Have you have on the flip side, some people won't register to vote because they don't want to serve on jury.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you can hear people say that. Well, no,
yeah.
I'm not going to register because I don't want
to be called for jury duty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is true, too.
Yeah.
I like jury duty.
But yeah, we've never received
that.
We do get like if someone were to indicate on their DMV registration that they were not a citizen and then they registered to vote,
uh-huh,
or re-registered to vote, we will get notification
of that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And so what we do in that instance, if they're already registered, of course, we will send them a letter saying, you know,
you're not eligible.
You have indicated that you are not a citizen. Please verify your status. You
uh-huh.
know, are you a citizen? If you don't respond, then we will remove you
from the voter
from the voter
rolls. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. All righty. When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
You referred to that in your monthly.
Yeah,
process.
I think that was
right,
it. But
so
you named it something else. So
the NCOA is what I call it.
Oh, NCOA.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I believe that was back in July that they
in
sent
July.
That list out. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
I think as much as it possibly can, yes.
Okay.
You know, there's no way 100% to know when, you know, Mr. Smith moved and
went to
another state or another locality in Virginia, or sometimes you do have people who have moved away and passed away, and we just don't
didn't
have knowledge
catch them yet.
And that's where we rely on those lists, that the maintenance list that the Department of Elections sends us, mm-hmm. because they're getting all that information from these other organizations.
Right. Okay.
Of course, I guess if we know somebody that dies, we
around here, a small locality, mm-hmm. you know, you hear of the mm-hmm. people that pass away.
That's what Kelly was saying too, is that they kind of watch the obituaries.
Oh, yeah. I do.
And then if they recognize the name and you know, signed up to vote, they take them off.
Right. You know, if I do it that way, I make sure that everything matches as far as their date of birth, their name.
That you're not taking somebody else.
And if it's anywhere or question about it possibly couldn't be that same person. You don't have to just wait.
Right. Yeah, you gotta wait and see.
Wait for that confirmation.
Get a verification.
Right.
Okay. How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
I wouldn't be able to know that.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I would say our nursing homes and assisted living facilities, those of course, but as far as actual households, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not aware, let me rephrase that, I'm not aware of a report that we can run to see, you know, if there's multiple people living at a household.
Right. Okay. During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
Well, we basically go on them filling their application out and checking the box saying they are a citizen, and then signing, mm-hmm. you know, the affidavit saying that all is true and correct, mm-hmm. under penalty of perjury.
Okay, now we're moving on. Concerns were raised across the country about the accuracy and integrity of voting machines in the 2020 elections. There are 3 types of voting machines that are used in Virginia. Can you name, or can you tell me which machines you use?
We use the ES and S. DS-200 scanners, and then the Express Votes is our ADA-compliant ballot marking
device. Yeah, for the handicap.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Right. And those are scanners as well as the voting machines, right?
All right, the scanners, we have paper ballots, mm-hmm. and so the individual voter will fill in the oval beside their selection. Mm-hmm. And then when they're finished, they'll take and scan their ballot into that voting machine.
Mm-hmm.
Express Votes, the ballot marking devices, they will make their choice on the machine by selecting on the screen. Mm-hmm. It prints out their ballot, and then it's scanned into the scanner, the DS-200.
Okay. All right. And who calibrates the voting machines? And can you please explain the process?
Yes.
Well, maybe there you go. There's that's his.
Our electoral board is involved in every election as far as the testing and stuff of our machines, and so they are very in hands on with that. Our voting machine technician is also involved, and then our vendor comes in, mm-hmm. And so all of them are involved with that process, but you're more familiar.
Well, the vendor comes in our case, PrintElect, they're the one that make the ES&S machines. They come in and they have an extremely formal way of testing it. So every possible option, like let's just say if you had Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Ross Perot running.
Yeah.
We would run all the different ballots, and it will compare. If you voted for Donald Trump, it would make sure that Donald Trump vote got counted under Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and not somebody else. Yeah. And mm-hmm. they, like if you, There's enough scenarios. I think we ran 64 ballots the last time because depending, well, we had some local.
Right, right.
But you have to run each.
Every scenario.
Every single scenario, and it prints out the numbers in order. So you know that if somebody's ballot said this one, then that's the one that got recorded.
Mm-hmm.
It's a several hour process. We set up all the voting machines. We set up all the mm-hmm. handicap machines.
So we know how the results are supposed to turn out, mm-hmm. and then yeah. we're comparing what
right.
we ran
and then
through
if
it to make sure.
Askew, which it has been, but uh-huh. if it ever was, we would know it before the election.
You'd know it. Well, that's
it could mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah. Yeah. How Is many that, voters and voting machines do you have?
So the county has 12,700 registered voters.
Uh-huh.
We have 13 precincts plus our cap.
Uh-huh.
So we have 13 machines to go out to mm-hmm. the precincts.
Mm-hmm. So there's one machine roughly
one machine per precinct.
Precinct.
We have no more. Our biggest precinct is about 1,400 registered voters,
uh-huh.
and
okay.
our smallest is a little under 400.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we have, you know, ample
right
for the number
for
of voters
that.
We have.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think did I say, okay. Who calibrates? And we already went through that. You already did that. Okay. Do you invite party representatives to witness the calibration?
We sure do.
Yeah. We do, and they come sometimes.
We do.
Right. I know Ren Williams came, and Janet Demarain came. Both of them
came,
and they're both really satisfied.
That's
that
impressive. That's
right.
Great.
Very
you know, they're,
good.
Yeah. they're real good.
Yeah.
They told us, both of them told us, I think we... I walked them through so much, I think they got bored and said, no,
okay,
enough.
Okay.
Teach them
but
to show
no,
up.
They're always involved, and they're always Susan always notifies them of anything.
Good. That's good. Okay. Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No.
No. That's the right answer. Okay. And then we don't have to do if they were.
Right.
Okay,
now
we'll...
Wait a minute. No.
Oh, sorry.
So when you update the system software...
Mm-hmm. We have annual maintenance done on our machines, so mm-hmm. They would do any updates during that time. And then, of course, for each election,
the election data is on a
flash drive.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And that flash drive is not available for any data input or...
No.
That's the only information that's
goes in.
Yeah, the flash drive is the only information.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we were also told that, you know, I always ask a lot of questions, and I said, well, you know, what if somebody like stole the flash drive and altered
put
it?
Put stuff
and
in.
They
it.
Said that, and this is what they told us. They said. There is a code or something. It's coded to the actual machine that made it. It said there's one laptop in Virginia that can get into that, and that's the only one. So they said, and nobody really knows where that is. So they said that was as secure as it could possibly be, all the safeguards. So we know that. 100% confident that
well,
it can't
for
go
someone ahead. To take and steal those thumb drives, they would have to either catch it in transit mm-hmm. from our vendor to our office, which you mm-hmm. know that
which at that point has no information, no voter information on it,
no,
just
no,
candidate information.
Yeah, it would just be the ballot itself.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but they would have to tamper with our machines, and we have mm-hmm. we have safeguards against, you know,
tampering.
Any of that. So we have
like you seal the port.
Right.
Yeah.
So things are sealed so that we would be able to tell if someone
if someone went
in.
The machines
yeah.
are locked over here in this room all the time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And nobody in the building except her and some of us have.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Many changes in election procedures were introduced in response to the COVID pandemic. And some people have argued that these changes weakened the integrity of the election process. As an election official, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change in election integrity? Interesting question.
Yeah. That's a loaded question.
In a way, but yeah. I mean, if you want to expand on how you might think it weakened or strengthened or didn't matter, or is there any...
I mean, I don't think it did any changes whatsoever as far as
accuracy.
Our election integrity. You know, what information is put out there to our citizens,
mm-hmm.
you know, they may think different, mm-hmm. but we still are doing the same processes to make sure that all of our elections are accurate and there's no fraud and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
From our point, there's no change.
Yeah. Okay.
So you don't think that the changes that were made increase the probability of, even in spite of all the safeguards you all have in place, and they are many,
mm-hmm.
That the laws themselves would open the door for
any
compromise?
Issue?
Well, you know, I would say if there was going to be any area that would be vulnerable would be your mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's only so much
right.
we can do,
right.
you know, as far as that part.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely I think that's an area that needs to be evaluated
mm-hmm.
and maybe some
modified
things,
a bit.
Yeah. done to make that more
secure
perhaps. Yeah,
yeah,
I guess, or,
yeah.
or for people to have a better understanding of how that works and how we
be
can
be comfortable that
mm-hmm. can
exactly.
verify
sure.
you know that information better.
Yeah. Okay, did you receive any funding in kind or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
No.
Okay, now, effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated the requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for an election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a significant or a signature match for the upcoming election?
Okay, so in Virginia, we don't actually match signatures.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't. We don't have the capability of doing that. We're a small office, so I do most all of...
By eye, like just checking it?
Yeah, we're just basically checking to make sure when they send that ballot back that they've filled out the affidavit
mm-hmm.
and they've signed it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like trying to match signatures, we
making
we,
sure the signatures are there.
Yeah.
But we have no way to match them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has any way to match them.
Mm-hmm. I think some states have some sort of signature matching software. Virginia does not have that at this
yeah.
time.
When we go to vote, do we still sign the voter book?
No.
We don't.
I know North Carolina does. Mm-hmm. You sign.
Sign the voter book.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had to sign.
We don't.
Yeah. Is that a county thing or is that a state thing? It would be a state thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall signing? We did it in the state that we moved from. I know every time I signed it.
Right. My daughter lives in North Carolina, and so
yeah.
I know she told me that that's what she...
Mm-hmm.
She had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was kind of, she had voted up here, so she knew how the process worked. And
she said, oh,
she didn't
different.
Have to show an ID down in North Carolina. And she just had to sign the poll book.
Mm-hmm. That was their way of verifying.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. All right. Next one. There's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security mm-hmm. and integrity of the ballot drop boxes.
Hold on just
What's
a second.
The matter? Did you have a question?
I think we went off on that last question.
Oh, we did?
It asks about whether there's a witness signature. Doesn't ask whether the signature is a match or something.
Well, it starts out by talking about witness signature, but then it asks how we are training our staff to ensure there's a signature
match.
Match
for the upcoming elections. Yeah, so that's kind of, yeah.
So, you know, if just to go on that, if you know, the law says that a witness signature is not required, then it's just not required.
But once the state of emergency expired, now a witness signature is required.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll make sure.
So for upcoming elections, there would have to be a witness signature.
Right.
Yeah. So and staff would know that there has
absolutely
to be.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we do now in Virginia, the law now requires us to cure ballots.
Right.
So if a ballot comes back to us and that envelope B with affidavit on it is not completed correctly, mm-hmm. then we would notify the voter that they have a discrepancy or they've missing information mm-hmm. and allow them a chance to come and fix it.
Right.
So if during another time that the witness signature is required, if they send that back to us and that's missing, we would contact them mm-hmm. and let them know and give them the opportunity to come and remedy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, then we'll move on. There's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
All right. Here in our county, we only have our drop boxes in our office and at the polling places on election day.
On election day.
You know, as far as there's forms, I think, that are filled out, like for the ones at the precinct and mm-hmm. stuff. But
they're at each precinct for election day and monitored by the election staff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they're never out of anyone's sight. They're not like sitting at the curb or anything like that. We don't put one like outside our building or anywhere else in public.
Mm-hmm.
We just have not found that to be something that we need here.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Was there any time during the last election cycle, well, that really wouldn't, when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
That's not relevant.
It's
not
relevant.
We got somebody looking at it.
It's not.
Some localities.
I almost wasn't going to read
it. It works for them to have drop boxes, and of course, they have their video and stuff, but
and
like say for our locality.
And you're a cozy little community.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Yeah.
And the next one would not be relevant either. Who's responsible for reviewing the video because you don't take the notes? Okay.
But as soon as you find that video, you promise.
We'll make sure it's reviewed.
Okay. To strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions about election pages, individuals that help, nonpartisan observers and party observers. Would you provide training and support or designate us to provide training and support for an election day page program as it's described in 24-2? I don't know if you saw 24-2 section.
I did.
Okay.
And my understanding of that is like high school students.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We actually have high school students that help. We've been doing that since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we didn't utilize them just because of the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not so sure that we're going to use it this time.
Well, that's what the other said too. The pandemic kind of interfered with that.
Right. And I usually go to the high school to talk to them about voter education and things like that.
Okay.
And that's kind of been put on hold since last year too.
Mm-hmm.
So
like everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. And would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in, and that's the same.
Right.
That would be like, you know, somebody that's an independent, another party, not Democrat or Republican, that wants to.
Right. And as long as we were all in agreeance, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognizing election monitoring organizations?
I don't think that we would with an international, unless we were given guidance from from the Department of Elections on how to handle that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receive in-person absentee ballots and receiving the in-person absentee ballots?
We have not notified any at this time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
We provide them what ELECT has out there.
Like there's like a little manual, a brochure, a do and don't.
Yeah.
It's the one, I think Steve has a copy. Maybe that's the one you, or he has a picture of it.
We have a real good.
We provide that to them.
Okay.
We mail that to them a couple of weeks before we actually have training, so they'll have that in hand so they can go over it.
Okay. Let's see here. Okay. I guess that's it, because it's, if no, then, you know, but the, you do give them stuff. Okay.
All right.
I think we've completed. Do you have any questions for us, or does do any of you have anything you wanted to ask of them? Yeah, you did great. You guys seem to be a very close-knit and well-run county.
Well, we try. Yeah, we do. We all feel.
Did you say you're Jerry?
Are you Jerry?
We're just trying Jerry's to get the name. No, Jerry's not here. I'm Warren.
You're Warren. Okay.
And this is Betty.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we feel real secure. We've talked about it, you know, with all the television stuff on elections, and we talk about it all the time, but we feel super secure.
Mm-hmm.
We said if there was any way for the elections to get not have integrity, all of us would have to be crooks because one of us would catch it. You know, you know, we'd everyone it'd have to be like a gang. There's just no way, you know.
There's too many checklists.
I'm a warrior.
Oh, here's my card, right?
That's right.
Oh, no, this was great. We really, really appreciate your time. You know, it's going to be helpful. And, man, we got our work cut out for us if we're going to get all 132 or whatever counties. I mean, there's a number of people that have agreed to do this. And we do hope that the information that we get, I mean, there are some counties that obviously are much much tighter with what they have than others. But if we can find some areas that, that will be helpful, then
We're so small.
That's an advantage.
You know, it is.
I was impressed when you said you 12,000 voters. Which was impressive. 12,000 voters, because the other counties were like 46. Like a 30.
But we're proud of every one of them.
You know what? We retired to Virginia, Steve and I, and I love this state. I think Virginia has everything. And we want it to be a success, you know, and and it will, and you know, it's going to be great.
The culture and the people are wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. It's really great.
Well,